Amen. It is good to have the choir back, isn't it? Let's turn in our Bibles to... First you couldn't hear me, now you hear me too much, right? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." At the beginning of this year, we engaged Dr. Randy Millwood to lead us in a church health assessment that he developed while he was a professor at New Orleans Seminary. And the assessment told us some of the essential areas of church life where we needed to work on to become stronger and more effective. And those areas mainly focused on our development of disciples. So you remember on June 8th, Dr. Millwood came, and we had one service together, and then he led us through a process in which we worked together to come up with the beginnings of a plan. We didn't come up with the plan. It wasn't the intention. But the focus was to develop the three most important questions facing our congregation that we would then begin working on over the course of the next year. One question which we develop an answer in 3 months, and one in 6 months, and one in 12 months. And so that's what the focus of that was. And then we all went on vacation. I mean, not all at the same time, but, you know, summer hit, and we were off camping and going to the beach and visiting friends and relatives, and the choir was doing whatever the choir does during the summertime, what everybody else does. But while we were all doing that at various times this summer, the deacons continued to work on and focus on three strategic questions. We published those a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you what they are. The 3 month question is, how do we prayerfully hear from God regarding our vision and purpose that connects our folks to newcomers? The 6 month question is, what is our discipleship path? What does it look like? And the 12-month question is, how are we going to get others to join us on this discipleship journey? So this summer, the deacons divided into three work groups, and they've recruited some of you to work with them in developing responses to these questions. And so today and for the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about the first one, about vision. See, clarity of vision is largely my responsibility as the chief communicator in our church. And if there's a lack of clarity about our vision, then that's on me. That's not on anybody else. That's really on me. So we're going to go back a bit. And I'm going to talk to you about this. Because we haven't always had a lack of clarity. A lot of you remember when we talked a lot about Light Unleashed, right? And some of you still do. I know some of you in your Sunday school classes, or when you see something happening, you say, "Hey, that's Light Unleashed." Or when you hear somebody doing something good in Jesus' name, you say, "Hey, yeah, see, you were being Light Unleashed." So some of you still use that terminology. But we've had a lot of new people come in, a lot of different people come in, And so that language, that terminology, that vision isn't a part of their understanding of who we are. So I want to talk about this over the course of the next few weeks. And the deacon subgroup that looked at this 3 month question, the question of on vision, looked at it and said, you know, there's nothing wrong with the vision. You know, Light Unleashed is short, it's pithy, it's visual, it's biblical, it communicates who we are. We just need to do a better job of communicating it, of teaching it, of planning around it, and budgeting around it. But we don't necessarily need to change it. In fact, we actually need to formally adopt it so that it's in all of our organizational documents. But the main thing that we need is clarity and communication. So that's part of what I want to provide for us for the next few weeks, to communicate and to inculcate this idea. You know, any organization, in order to be effective, has to provide a solution to some problem. If not, it risks being completely irrelevant. And that's a self-evident truth, isn't it? You know, it used to be that that in every town there was a blacksmith, right? In Frederick, there had to be at least one, probably more blacksmiths, because horses were the primary mode of transportation. But now, only those people who own horses know where to find a blacksmith, right? Any of you know where you can find a good blacksmith? Yeah. Lorna Grasky, I bet she knows. She's a horse person. Right. The blacksmiths no longer provide a solution to a widespread problem. Restaurants provide solutions to problems. We have a lot of restaurants in Frederick because people often don't have the time or the desire to cook as much. But a lot of people have more money than they have time, so they go out to eat a lot. And restaurants provide a place for people to get together and to have fun and have conversations to connect. Because sometimes a restaurant is the only place where busy people actually sit across from each other and talk. So restaurants provide solutions to problems. Movie theaters exist because people have a need to be entertained. Teenagers need a place to take a date or just hang out with their friends. And why do coffee houses exist? I can make a perfectly good cup of coffee at my house, you know. Why does Starbucks and Frederick Coffee Company, you know, why do they exist? Well, I don't think it's because people have a need for expensive coffee in cups with Italian names. I don't think that's a widespread need, you know. But if you go to one of these places, go to a Starbucks, go to Frederick Coffee Company, and just watch what's happening. You'll see people drinking coffee, yeah, but what they're really doing is experiencing community. Coffee houses exist because people need to be with other people. So why do churches exist? What needs, real or perceived, do we provide solutions for? Why are we necessary for our community? See, I think a lot of churches have rendered themselves irrelevant because they stopped asking those questions. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say that times have changed and Frederick County has changed and churches haven't necessarily changed. So more and more churches are providing answers to questions that no one is asking and solutions to problems that no longer exist. Too many churches are still offering blacksmithing to answer people's needs. So if we're going to make a difference in our community, we need to make sure that we're providing solutions to real issues in the lives of the people around us. Let's take a look at some of those things. You know, many people in our community, many people in our church, we live overcommitted lives. Isn't that right? We have way too much going on. We have more yeses in our lives than we do nos. I mean, our schedules are nuts. 39% of the labor force in Frederick County commutes out of the county. So they're getting up early and driving an hour, hour and a half to work and then working and then making the same commute home. And by the time they get home, they're tired and they're exhausted and they barely have time for family, much less for other things. And most people aren't working just 40 hours either. You know, regardless of income level. People on the lower end are having to work multiple part-time jobs to make ends meet. And people on the other end are working 50 and 60 hours for their salaries. And then, of course, we have the community involvements that each of us are involved in, whether it's Rotary or PTA or kids sports and kids music and dance and things like that. So we're running around driving kids and grandkids hither and yon so that they can have a rich and varied childhood. You know, I have yet to meet a person in Frederick County who is not busy, right? If we aren't busy, we'll find a way to be busy. We are busy, busy people. And we're overcommitted not just in our schedules, but we're overcommitted in our finances. I mean, housing has always been expensive in Frederick County and in Maryland. Therefore, people have to tend to stretch their resources and just to live here, you know? And over the last few years, since the big recession hit in 2008, it's gotten even worse. And our dollars aren't going near as far, and many people are underemployed. So we are stretched, and we are stressed financially. And people are living with a significant amount of debt in order to support a lifestyle that they've chosen. And many households can only do it if there are two people in the household working. Two incomes. Which only adds to the schedule stress and the time issue, even if it provides some relief financially. And I wonder how many two-income families would say that they still feel overcommitted and financially as well as in their schedules. Probably got a lot of stress even with two incomes. So we're overcommitted in our lives. But perhaps even more significantly and related to this is that many people feel isolated from significant relationships in their lives. For most of us, Frederick County is an adopted home. We aren't from here. Home is someplace else. Families are someplace else. For a lot of people, Frederick County is just a temporary home. They're here for a few years, and then they're going to be leaving. They get transferred here, and they'll probably get transferred out. Or they're military, and you know that lifestyle of constant transfers. And all of us have a tendency to go light in our relationships. If you know that there's a good chance that either you or they are going to be moving away sometime soon. You know, so we go lightly with our relationships, and significant relationships take time. They take effort. And that's something that few people have a lot of. We don't have that much time. And oftentimes we're tired. And so we live our lives with a lot of acquaintances. And some people that we enjoy and we wish that we could spend more time with them. But we have lots of acquaintances and few very, very deep, significant relationships. We may have more virtual friends, right? Email friends, Facebook friends, something like that. But real significant relationships are lacking in many of our lives. And not only don't we have enough significant relationships in our lives, but many people experience alienation in their relationships. I mean, relationships are hard, right? They are hard, and relationships are stressful, and much of our life is spent learning just how to get along with people that we love, much less people that are different from us. And this is not a new problem. This is a universal problem. The Bible deals with this problem a lot from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Where Adam said, "The woman that you gave me. You remember that? It was her fault. And then to Cain and Abel, and you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's about relationships. You read Paul's letters, and they're about relationships. And because bailing out on a relationship is so easy to do, oftentimes people choose that alternative. But on a larger scale, society is telling us that our differences are more significant than our similarities. And so we are spending more and more time deciding who we will or will not associate with, who is bad for society, and we need to do something about them. We're spending more time building walls than bridges. And also we are insulated. We're insulated from a lot of the world's hurts. The poverty rate in Frederick County has historically been much less than the rest of the state. And the poverty rate in Maryland is much less than, historically has been much less than the rest of the country. So we don't necessarily all see things that other people see all the time. And so therefore, we think that we really don't have to deal with them, and we can even delude ourselves into thinking that the problems really don't exist on the scale in which others say that they exist. We think they're just amplifying. They're talking about it too much, and if they'd stop talking about it, it would just go away. Read in the paper just yesterday that Montgomery County, one of the wealthiest counties in the United States, not just in Maryland, but in the United States, is now experiencing pockets or larger pockets of poverty than they've ever had to experience before. So now Montgomery County is trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do with this? It's starting to come home to all of us. When you look at Jesus' ministry, you see that his ministry was to the most neglected elements of society. That's who he ministered to. And when we look around and we don't see those elements, and that's the very definition of being insulated, the very definition of being neglectful, when something is there but we don't see it. But I'll tell you one thing that we can't help but see. Our county is changing. Our city is changing. There are people coming into our county that we haven't experienced before. You know, we're becoming... When I first came to this church 19 years ago, we were... The entire county was over 90% white, Caucasian. That's been changing for a while, hasn't it? And it's undeniable. And people live here, and they work here, and they really work. And they shop here, and they may or may not be going to church here. They're here within just a few blocks of us. So what are we going to do? Are we going to act like they aren't here? Are we going to just ignore them? Are we going to let somebody else minister to them? Tell them that they can go someplace else to worship? No. I don't think that's what Christ called us to do. Like I said, there's a lot of people who struggle with a lot of things, and a lot of people struggle to find significance in their lives. All of us do. For many people, life is just a series of very routine things. They get up, they take a shower, they drive to work, they drive home. They work around the house a little bit, do something. And then the next morning, they get up and do it all over again. And then they wonder, is this all there is? There is a God-shaped hole in people's lives. There's a longing in every person for transcendence, to touch something of the eternal. People sense it. People do long for it. And what I've just given is just a quick rundown of the situation in which we find ourselves. It's at once incomplete and shallow in its analysis. The issues go deeper than time allows me to delve into this morning. But the question is, are we going to try to do anything about any of this? Is there anything we can do, or is it just the tidal wave of society, and the best that we can do is hunker down in our shelters and hope that the damage is not too bad? Well, we wouldn't be here, hopefully, if that's the way we felt. This is not a place to hunker down. This is a place to provide solutions. And we don't have to make up the solutions. The solutions are in Scripture. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are. You are. The light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, he says, puts it under a bushel basket. But puts it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I believe that Jesus provides the solution to the most important issues that people in our community and in our church deal with on a daily basis. Jesus' original vision for his church was that they be that light, that they be light unleashed, that they would be a community whose life and good works were so compelling to the world around it that the community would be drawn to God because of the church's irresistible influence. I believe that Jesus is the solution. He is the way and the truth and the life. Amen? And he calls us to be his followers, to be toters of the light, showers of the way, givers of the truth. I believe that Jesus provides significance to our lives, which will help us as we get in line with what Jesus tells us to decide what to say yes and what to say no to with our overburdened schedules. What to say yes and what to say no to with our overstressed financial resources. I believe Jesus invites us to be part of a community where we can have truly significant relationships with others. And He provides us teaching and guidance and the supreme example of how to make those relationships healthy and whole. I believe that in following Jesus, who accepted the most neglected people in society, that we'll stop looking at looking past the world's hurts, and we'll start looking for them and do something about them. And in doing so, that we will find a significance and a meaning in our purpose in our lives that we'll never find if we start looking for meaning and purpose and significance in our lives. It's only in giving our lives away that we find our lives. Somebody said that, right? His words are in red letters. See, I believe Jesus does all this and more. And I believe that the church that does this will be light unleashed to the world. And will draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is much more that needs to be said, and I'm going to try to say it over the next few weeks. But let's recommit our lives and ourselves, our church, to this mission that Jesus laid out for us to be light unto the world, to not hide our light, but to let it shine so that all may see the works of Jesus through His body and give glory to God in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, continue to challenge us, Lord, with the way that we live. Continue to call us into Your way and to bring our lives into conformity with the life that You lived and the life that You call us to live, both as individuals and as a church coming together as Your body filled with Your Holy Spirit. May there be in each of us, O Lord, a recommitment to Your Word and to Your way, so that all may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not that He wants to take life away, but that He wants to give it to them, and that He gives it to them in abundance. Challenge us, O Lord, to give our lives to this very purpose. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.